Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of At Home with Victoria. I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for tonight. The lovely news lady is away. She told me what she was doing this afternoon, and I promptly forgot, so she won't be joining us tonight. But we've got a great show. Leon Accord from Old Dogs and New Tricks is joining us. They're filming season 3 right now, and he'll be sharing all the good scoops. And I got some good information on him too, so we're going to put him to the test. And then a little bit later, we're joined by Dove Presnell from she's the executive producer of what's it called? Trans Youth Speak, actually, and there's an event at the Wiltern Theater called Crawlapalooza. It's going to be great comedians like Zach Galifianakis and Tig Notaro and a whole bunch of others. So she'll be joining us to go ahead and talk about that. So, but joining us right now is Mr. Leon Accord. How are you, my friend? Welcome to the show. It's your first time here.
I'm first time here. Thanks for having me, Michael. It's great to be here. And you're even pronouncing my last name correctly. You did do some research, didn't you?
I read up a little bit. I brushed up my little information on you, but let's start back at the beginning from Kokomo, Indiana, USA. Living on farms, you're the original Ava Gabor, I guess.
And, New York is where I long to be.
Well, you kind of overshot it a little bit, but
yeah,
what was it like growing up in Indiana from the start?
You know, it was. At the time, I remember just being miserable and just wanting to escape. But looking back, I have to say, I'm not sure if I would have become an actor if I hadn't, because I was lucky enough to, you know, kind of come of age at the second golden age of television with the, you know, Carol Burnett and All in the Family and Maude. And it was really, and my parents were quite cool, actually, very cool compared to today's standards of Indiana living. But they kind of just, you know, if they felt like their kids could handle something, they would let them do it. So they didn't really monitor my TV usage at all, and it was kind of a window to the outside world. So on one hand, I was, like, just chomping at the bit, wanting to, like, you know, get out. But on the other hand, you know, it was sort of great, not training, but sort of an eye-opening thing to be that, you know, a total glue to the TV. I mean, people would call me, you know, as a kid, oh, what's on the TV tonight? Oh, well, on ABC. It was easier then because there were only three networks, but,
right.
Yeah.
But, how big is Kokomo?
Kokomo is, it's a mid-sized city. I don't know the exact population. It used to be in the 70s, 60s and 70s, really from the 50s, I think, to the late 70s, a really thriving automobile manufacturing. Delco was there. Chrysler had a plant there. There was a Fisher Body plant just outside of Kokomo, and that's all just it's not a ghost town yet, but I really wonder how it's going to continue to survive.
I'm glad Kokomo had some industry. I'm from a very, very small town, population 1,250, in the Midwest of Canada. So, I mean, I'm very, very familiar with being gay in a small town, and boy, oh, boy.
Oh, God. Well, it got worse. You know, we lived in Kokomo till I was about three, and then we moved to a non-working farm outside of a place called Greentown. I love that name. Isn't that like, it sounds so bucolic. And then moved from there to a big working farm in Peru, which was about that size of your hometown, and then from there to a huge working farm in a place called Walton, Indiana. So we moved around quite a bit, but never really seemed to go anywhere. So
always stay close. Now, your first acting gig was actually after the University of Kokomo, where you were actually doing an amateur nightclub appearance when you were 19. You were too young to drink, and, you know, you could vote, but too young to drink.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was 21 in Indiana. I think it still is. Indiana has peculiar drinking laws. Like, you can't drink on Sunday, and if you go into, like, they don't have 7-Elevens there, like an AM, PM, the rack with the booze is, like, covered with a sheet. At least that's how it was when I was growing up. I actually went to college after I did the nightclub act. the nightclub thing was in a, it was called the Club Show Bar down in like the industrial part of Indianapolis. And a friend of mine did drag and wanted someone to do like a male lead with him to do a duet, which I did. And
wow.
On an amateur night, and the show director of their weekend, you know, professional drag review, liked me for some reason and asked me to do that for their professional drag queens on weekends and then fill in between the drag sets with my own stuff. So it was, yeah, it was kind of, and you know,
was
before then I'd done stuff in high school, you know, three or four plays, but it was really the first really kind of like, oh my God, this is show business. And it was, even though it was.
Was it a paying gig?
Yeah, we got a share of the door and tips.
Oh, cool.
It wasn't enough to live off of, but
yeah.
It was kind of like, wow, I can, you know, on a good night, I could buy a week's worth of groceries. This is pretty cool.
Hey, that'll pay the bills. When did you make the jump to L.A.?
L.A., well, I moved first to San Francisco in 85, and I lived there for 20 years. And then I moved here. It's exactly 10 years this month
Wow.
that I moved to L.A.
You got your feet wet in San Francisco, still doing theater?
Yeah, I did a lot of theater. I worked all the time in San Francisco, a lot at a new conservatory theater company with Ed Decker, some plays at Theater Rhino, a lot of nomadic theater companies, and did a lot of indie film there, and then eventually joined SAG, and you know, all the film work in San Francisco, at least then, was non-union, so it's like, okay,
yeah.
L.A. beckons, and
Absolutely.
This is where you insert the sound of screeching brakes.
I always like to ask everybody who's on, what role gave you your SAG card?
Oh, it was an industrial, actually, for a company called Ariba. They were some sort of software company. There were only three of us, I think. The other two had like maybe three lines each, and then the thing was, we were like looking at what was supposed to be a painting in a gallery, and they were kind of describing what they saw in the picture. And at the end of it, I said, I don't get it. And then we cut to the picture. It's that company logo, Ariba. And then it cut back to me and said, oh, now I get it. But because it was just the three of us and we were the only ones speaking, it was considered principal, and I got to join SAG.
Isn't that the coolest thing? Did you actually feel like you arrived at that point?
Well, you know, I was must join, and I didn't actually join for a couple of years just because, first of all, it's expensive, and being in San Francisco, I really didn't want to join until I absolutely had to. But, it was. I mean, I think every actor sort of, that's like their first, you know, first goal, join SAG. And, you know, a lot of actors are trying to do that maybe before they're ready. I mean, you know, there are steps, you know, and if you stick at it, you eventually get there. But yeah, it was like, wow, I am professional now. I'm real.
Yeah,
it
does make a difference. When I received my National Press Club card, I tell you, it kind of felt like everything that I had done was sort of now counted. Now I got to really watch my language. I got to cross my T's and dot my I's and all that stuff. But
yeah,
it does matter. Let's go to Old Dog's a New Trick. You know, you're filming its third season. First two seasons were hilarious. For those
Thank
who don't
you.
Know, give us a bit of the premise.
The premise is pretty much it's four middle-aged gay friends between ages of like 46 and 53. Trying to stay vital and relevant in an alternate universe called West Hollywood, which is, most of America is kind of youth obsessed, but West Hollywood is like the center of show business, the center of the L.A. gay scene, although it's really all over L.A., but it's kind of the Castro of L.A., if that makes sense, or the Chelsea of L.A., if you're in New York.
In New York.
But it's just, you know, I would sit in West Hollywood when I first moved here, and it's like, oh, there are tons of 20-year-olds and a lot of 30-year-olds and a few 40-year-olds and one or two 50-year-olds, and where are the rest of them? Because in San Francisco, it's very, they really kind of embrace, at least, you know, I haven't lived there in 10 years. While I was there, it seemed like they really embraced the history of gay culture, you know.
Yeah.
And in L.A., it's not so much.
Your character Nathan Adler seems to be the queen or the queen of the crop, so to speak, and stuff like that. Attractive man with lots of money, still picking up the young ones, and I give you credit for that. But you have a fantastic cast with Kurt Bonham and Jeffrey Patrick Olsen and David Pesner. How did you end up getting those guys together?
Aren't they a great cast? I'm so lucky to be working with these guys. I had worked with Kurt in a play called Carved in Stone, where I played Quentin Crisp and he played Tennessee Williams, both like dead in the afterlife. So we'd worked together before. Ironically, I had wanted Kurt to play Ross when I first talked to him.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, no. Brad has my name all over it. And now I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? so that was an easy one. Jeffrey Patrick Olsen, we did a table reading when I first wrote the scripts. I just wanted to hear how they sounded. So I did a casting notice and met with him. And, like, it was, you know, the minute, similar to Love at First Sight, as soon as, you know, I saw him and we started talking, I'm like, this guy is muscles. And I had to, you know, convince a couple producers. But, well, I didn't. He did with a couple auditions. So
let's take a shirt off.
Actually, no, that was not part of the audition process. But he did, you know, there's a scene in the second season where he's trying out a new sexual role, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And when we met, we were at a table on Santa Monica Boulevard outside Starbucks, like, so we're, like, on the street. And I was telling him about that scene. I think he'd read the script. And I said, you know, you don't have to, like, do anything vulgar, but just if you could show me on your face, you know, live that experience just on your face and, you know, let me get an idea. And he, like, stood up and, like, hiked his leg and straddled the table and started humping the table. And I thought, wow, that's – and he was really funny, too. So,
yeah.
It's like, that's dedication.
Oh, the whole cast is hilarious, quite frankly. I mean, you play off
really
each other
are.
So well. Yeah, it's a pleasure to watch. You also had, over the years, a lot of special guests that I want to go ahead and touch on. Olympic gold medalist Greg Louganis.
Oh, we did. Well, first,
Greg Louganis.
Didn't mention Dave – we didn't mention
David Pesner,
yes. I don't want him to feel slighted. Actually, Jim J. Bullock was cast as Ross, and then he got a road company 2 weeks before we shot the pilot. And Pesner had auditioned for Brad and Muscles, and we loved him, but, you know, it just didn't work out. Which is actually perfect because he even himself says, you know, when he got the breakdowns and read the description for Ross, he's like, that's my character. And he's absolutely right, because I can't see anyone else ever playing Ross.
Yeah.
So, anyway, those are the four guys.
Absolutely. Let's go back to special guests. How did you get Greg Louganis? And actually, he was very, very good.
I'm not, you know, I really can't remember specifically. I know that David Pesner goes to the same gym. I know Bruce Hart knows him socially. It was through one or the other or both, and then, you know, me kind of badgering him on Facebook. And it took a lot of work. He's a very busy, busy guy, and locking him down for shooting was kind of tough. But it was really interesting when he showed up on set. He was so quiet and so unassuming that you would never know that, like, this Olympic god had just joined us, you know. It's like, hi, Leon, I'm here. And then once people realized it was him, you've never seen so many phone cameras whip out. It was a really interesting. We had a lot of background in that scene that day, and for a couple days. And he was great with all of them, and they were taking his picture. But he's a really nice guy, very down to earth, unassuming, just a really
still,
nice, normal guy.
Still so good looking, you know.
Oh my God, he's good looking.
That
man aged
well.
It's really not fair, especially when you consider he's, you know, a swimmer with the sun and the chlorine. He should look wretched,
withered.
But no, he's gorgeous.
Yeah, no. Another gorgeous man you had on, too, was Tom Beards from The Young and the Restless, Chancellor of the Third kind of a thing. I was really happy to go ahead and see you get him, too. Same question. How did you end up landing him?
Well, I was actually trying to get someone else for the part and just couldn't get him to really commit. And I was just stymied sitting in front of my laptop and you know, Facebook used to, like, show you little pictures, like, do you know this person? There was, like, this, I looked up and was like, do you know Tom Beards? And I'm like, wasn't that the guy who played Philip on Young and the Restless? Back in the 80s, I was a huge Y&R fan.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, that's him. He's grown up. Look at him. And I just thought, So I sent him a friend request and sent him a message and just said, you know, I'm doing this web series and, you know, I'm a fan of yours from way back and I would love to have you on the show. And he was intrigued and we went out for dinner and he agreed to do it. And he's actually very interesting. He's he was very, you know, when we were talking about it, very conscientious that this wasn't going to be some big gay joke, that it, you know, that it not be derogatory or stereotypical. And and he's also one of the most down-to-earth. He's kind of a character. But the nice thing about him, which, you know, you don't expect when you work with, you know, studs, for lack of a better word, you know, these Hollywood actor types, he knows who he is. He's very, you know, he's written that book about his that terrible
about his brother.
Yeah. Yeah. And he
fantastic
really,
read, too.
He's probably one of the most self-aware people that I've met.
Yeah. You've just finished now filming. You're now filming season three, but you got to work with Mo Gaffney, one of my favorite actresses.
Oh my
this is gonna be funny too. When I heard that Mo was gonna be shooting with you guys, I am friends with her on Facebook, of course. But you know what the hell does that mean, kind of a thing. So I did send her this message and stuff, and I was very 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 nice and stuff. Been a fan of you for years, and then I actually put, okay, enough with the ass kissing. Leon's coming on the show. Just want to double check and see if it can kind of work with your schedule. She never returned the message, but I know she's crazy busy as well. But tell me what it's like working with that comic genius.
Well, she is crazy busy. She had we're halfway through the 4-week shoot, and she had one day that she could give us, and so we took it. God love her. You know, that was another one. We were friends on Facebook. I asked her if she'd do the show, and she responded pretty quickly, yes, and I almost shit my pants. Can I say that on your show? Sorry.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Again, you know, you expect these, like, really big stars to, like, come in with this, like, you know, diva kind of attitude. She was very kind of small in terms of the psychic space she took up in a room. God, I sound so Californian. Very humble, very kind of like, nice to meet you, and, you know, how are you, and chatty with just about everyone in the crew and the cast, and very kind of normal. And then we sit down and we start doing takes, and oh my God, Jennifer Saunders is right. She's probably the funniest person on earth. She's so funny. All of us were like, either behind the camera or the rest of us were like in a side room where we could sort of see her, but we were trying not to, you know, be in her eye line. And we were like, you know, like hands over our mouths, like doubled over, trying not to make noise, trying not to laugh. She's one of a kind. I'm dying for people to see that episode. She's in the season three premiere. And then, you know, finished her scenes. It was very nice. Posed for a few pictures, shook our hands, and was gone. And I'm still, like, pinching myself because, I mean, I've been a fan of her since the Kathy and Mo show. And then I remember the first time she's on AdFab, I'm like, is that Mo Gaffney? Oh, my God, she's on AdFab. And then they just kept bringing her back, and it made her sort of a recurring regular. And
then I fell in love with her in Drop Dead Gorgeous when she was playing.
Oh, my God. Playing Marco Polo.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, it was hilarious. But let's go to a little bit of a sound clip here. I've got the Poolside Brunch. This is what, from season, I think it was from season one, is that correct, or season two?
This is from season two, and they're actually showing this particular episode at the Hollywood Fest next week.
Cool. Give us a listen. This is Old Dogs and New Tricks. Don't go
away. Well, for your fat information, I have more offers this weekend than I can handle. Do you remember the photographer who hit on me at the wedding?
Oh, the age-appropriate photographer.
Christoph. He called and asked me out.
He is so handsome, and he really liked you, too. So when's the...
Whoa, Nellie, I didn't say I called him back.
Well, you have to. You have to get back up on that horse.
Yeah, but only if he's hung like one.
Oh, Nathan, I'll feel bad if we're all getting laid and you're laying in bed watching E.
I agree. You bitches know my motto. The only way to get over someone is to get someone else under you.
Well, then you can all relax because I will not be alone tonight. I have a date. Yeah, a real grown-up dress-up date. Dinner and dancing.
Wait, what? With who?
Damien.
That was from Old Dogs and New Tricks. Check out all seasons at www.olddogsandnewtricksetheseries.com. When are you finishing up filming, Leon?
We finished filming in 2 weeks, April 6th. is our last day of shooting.
Cool. Yeah. How many weeks?
Yeah.
How many weeks of editing then before we get to seeing
anything? It usually takes about between 2 and 4 weeks to edit an episode, depending on how, you know, grand the scope is.
Yeah.
Like our wedding episodes in season two took longer than just, you know, the more kind of domestic scenes. We actually have a 22-minute mini-movie called WeHo Horror Story that's actually done and ready to go. We're talking to Wolf now about, you know, I think they want to hold it till September because it's Halloween, you know, it's a Halloween-themed
mm-hmm.
show. And we're like, no, we've been off the air for a year. We've got to get that on as soon as possible. So if you're listening and want to watch it, email wolfvideo.com. But, yeah, we're in the process of working that out. It should be up, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to the new season, and I want to wish you the best congratulations in L.A. Web Fest and Hollyweb. I know it's award season for the web series community, so I hear you've got some good nominations, Leon. Congratulations on a great show, buddy. I look so forward to seeing it again. And, again, once, you know, it's always so nice having these web series people coming on, because I have never met a harder working bunch of people for absolutely no money. And out of
mm-hmm.
the bottom of my heart, you have produced some of the finest content, and just keep doing it, buddy. It's so well received.
Thank you. The expression I like to say is that it's richly rewarding, even though we're not being rewarded with riches. It's been an amazing experience, learning curve, roller coaster. And I wouldn't have missed it for anything, but I'm ready for a vacation.
I know you are. Yeah. I know the shooting schedule must be crazy, but buddy, it's been an absolute delight talking with you. I'm really, really happy you accepted my friendship request on Facebook, and it was just,
absolutely.
It's always lovely to talk to you. Okay. So anytime you got stuff going on, please remember that At Home with Victoria is your home too, and come on back and tell us about it. Okay?
I will do that. But when I get a release date for WeHo Horror Story, I will give you a ring.
Oh, cool. Come on in.
Thanks.
You take care, buddy.
Cool.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Michael. Have a great night.
Thanks, man. You too.
Bye-bye.
That was Leon Acord. Again, check it out at www.olddogsandnewtricktheseries.com. Hilarious, hilarious. And it's so nice to know how I'm going to age in my 50s, because that's pretty accurate, except, you know, without the money. However, joining us now is a lovely woman. She is the executive director of Trans Youth Speak. She is having a live benefit called Quadapalooza, and she's joining us right now, Dove Presnell. Thank you for joining us tonight, Dove.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure. How did you end up founding this organization? It's a fantastic organization.
Well, actually, Trans Youth Speak is one of the projects of Survivor's Truth, and it's a kind of long story how I came to do that, but I've spent years working with different groups affected by violence or discrimination, and really saw the need for people who've been through difficult things to be able to tell their own stories in ways that are really respectful of them, and highlighting the strengths and knowledge and resources within the community. And so that's what Trans Youth Speak is about, is we work with trans and genderqueer youth, where they're creating media to inform others and inspire and promote social change.
Yeah, you've got a fantastic advocate right now with Carmen Carrera hitting the headlights. So the main media, and, you know, tell me, the most beautiful transgendered woman I've ever seen in my entire life. And I was watching her on an Australian talk show, so elegant and very poised to speak about, you know, being trans, which I learned more about it from her than actually anything. So, you know, I'm happy that you've got her on her side. But let's talk about Quadapalooza. Quadapalooza is actually going to be a benefit fundraiser to honor Suzanne Krull, who passed away, I believe, of an aneurysm. Is that correct?
Some problem with her heart, yes.
And
Suzanne Krull, yeah, she was, it was last summer, and she was known, everybody who knew her loved her, and she was known for really connecting with and caring about people and always going for the underdog. And so her husband, Peter, who I know because our children are in the same kindergarten, and through his own grief has decided to do this every year to do some sort of benefit for an underdog charity, working with an underdog group. And his good friend Tig Notaro has taken on the lineup for this event. So it's actually going to be a phenomenal comedy event. We have Tig, Patton Oswalt, Zach Galifianakis, and Reggie Watts, and it's being emceed by Ian Harvey. So just an incredible, fun night out. And with the benefit of really supporting our organization and specifically focused on the Trans Youth Speak Project.
Yeah. And that's Tuesday, April 1st at the historic Wiltern Theater. Where can people get tickets, Dove?
People can get tickets through Live Nation on Ticketmaster. The Wiltern does all their ticketing through there. We also have until Friday, our organization is selling tickets. So the best place to go is to go to krullapalooza.com, which is krullapalooza.com, and all the information is there. We also still have a couple of sponsor spots. If you would like your business to have exposure with an event like this, we have a couple of spots available, and those people could just reach out directly to me. I'm Dove, like the soap. It really is my name. and, yes, my parents were hippies. Okay, got that out of the way. So it's Dove at SurvivorsTruths.org. And so survivors is plural and truths is plural because there's many survivors and each one has many stories. And we're focused on those stories that give us a place to jump in and help and support.
Yeah. Well, if I was in LA, I would be there in a hot second because I think the lineup's fantastic. Zach Galifianakis, I tell you, is cracking me up lately, especially with his In Between Two Ferns thing right now on, I believe it's Funny or Die, but
classic.
Yeah, classic. Dove, we're running out of time, love, but I'm so happy you're able to go ahead and make it on the show. Continued success with Survivors Truths, and it's a great organization. We'll be posting those links on our web pages as well as in the chat room tonight. But Dove, have a great evening,
much.
And thank
really
you so much for joining us. You got it, love.
You too.
Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Ah, such a good organization. Check her out at Dev Presno at SurvivorsTruth.org. It's too much hate in the world right now, and I'm glad we can do something about it. That's another edition of At Home with Victoria. I want to thank you for listening tonight. I want to thank all our guests. Leon Acor, check him out at www.olddogsandnewtricks.com. And actually for the event for the Krullapalooza, you can go to survivorstruth.org, and all the links will be there for ticket information. So want to end with a little bit of music. This is Preston Leatherman. He's down in Orlando, Florida, making some big waves musically that I can't wait to go ahead and tell you about, but I can't, so we're not going to. But listen to some of his tunes. For At Home with Victoria, I'm Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host. Good night.
I'm from the CYP, but there's nothing to see in my wallet. I turn my phone off just in case you've been calling. I got negative balance in my bank account. Had to move back into my mom's house. It's a pretty high price to pay, but I really like to get away. But I'm so broke, you don't even know. I rob a big house and they won't even notice what's missing. And if they catch us, they're the ones paying for prison. I get three square meals, free room and board, all the luxuries that we can't afford. It's a pretty high price to pay. I'm far from a bother.
been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.